This morning, actually, Sandra asked me to preach a couple of weeks ago, and I went and did the usual, all right, what am I going to preach about? And I was going to share something on hope. But then when I went running last Saturday morning, I said, okay, God, what do you want me to share? Because I wasn't really sure about it. And I just got the words, you've got mail. And so the title of this talk comes from a movie of the same name. I don't know if anyone's seen it before. And it stars Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan, who begin an online relationship by emailing each other and sharing their lives. And the movie depicts Meg Ryan and Tom Hanks waiting for the bleep, bleep, ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching of the modem, which is something we haven't heard in many years, and downloading emails. And they're waiting in expectancy, and they're hoping, and they're looking for a message. And as they mail each other, their relationship develops. And they talk to each other about the things that really matter to them, and they talk to each other about things that are personal to them, and they actually don't even share them with their partners because they're both in another relationship at that time. And so I just wanted to bring that into the Christian context, and I was just going to say, you know, God is longing to talk to each one of us, and every day he has a message for each of us. And I'm wondering, you know, do we actually position ourselves to actually hear what he's saying to us? You know, do we have mail from the Lord that is waiting to be downloaded into our minds and into our hearts? And do we talk to the Lord about the deep things that really matter to us? You know, and the deep things that we don't necessarily share with the folk about us. And I want to read from Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 1. It says, I will stand my watch and set myself on a rampant, and watch to see what he will say to me, and what I will answer him when I am corrected. And the writer of this verse paints a picture of someone who's standing and waiting, expectant, focused, Linda, wanting to hear from the Lord, and also being determined to hear from God, but also paints a picture of a two-way conversation. The writer is setting his heart to speak to the Lord as well. So this morning I just want to talk about three ways in which God does speak to us. And the first way that God speaks to us is through Scripture. And by that mean, what I mean is the Logos, Word of God. And the Greek word Logos is used to refer to the constant written Word of God, which we have recorded in the Bible. And it shows us who God is, what his commandments are, how he acts, what he promises, and how he led the people of Israel, and the list goes on and on. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the New Testament provides a blueprint of how we should live our lives. For example, in Acts chapter 15, there's what is called the Jerusalem letter. And this letter was written because certain Jews were telling the Gentiles who had accepted Jesus as their Saviour that they weren't really saved unless they became circumcised. And the apostles issued this letter to challenge that. In Acts chapter 15, verses 28 to 29, it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these, you will do well. Now, even today, that is good guidance for our lives, to live our Christian walk. But we can depend upon the Word of God, the Logos Word of God, to show us how to live. You know, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And applying this scripture to the whole world of God means that the New Testament doesn't contradict the Old Testament. In fact, the Old Testament points to the New Testament. An example of this is the Ten Commandments, which were given to Moses in Exodus 20. And they're fulfilled in the New Testament when Jesus gives the great commandment. In Matthew 22, verses 35 to 40, it says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I think I've forgotten the word love there. And on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So here Jesus was saying that the first five commandments in Exodus 20, which outline how we are to regard God and we should acknowledge him in our lives, is fulfilled by the single commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind. And commandments 6 through 10 of the 10 commandments are covered by Jesus' second command, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And so this is an example of how the Old Testament points to the New Testament, and the New Testament fulfills it. You know, the Bible talks about God's word will be written on our hearts. Hebrews 10, verses 16 says, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I shall write them. So in other words, God speaks to us through the Logos words, and he's put it in our hearts. And if we want it, we can have guidance from the Lord as we go about our daily lives. And, you know, we know in our hearts, if we are contemplating on doing a wrong action, you know, the great commandment to love your neighbour as yourself, it's not rocket science, is it? It's you know we shouldn't be, we know that we should be nice to folk. And that includes not stealing from them, not gossiping about them, not lying about them. These are givens of our Christian walk. And so the result of reading and applying the Logos Word of God is one of the things that will help change our lives and renew our minds. The second way God speaks to us, again, I've got it, is he talks to us through Scripture, but this is something called the Rhema Word of God. And the Greek word Rhema is used to refer to the instant personal speaking of God to us. The Rhema Word of God is totally dependent upon the Logos Word of God, i.e. if we don't have the Logos Word of God, then we cannot have a Rhema Word of God. And consequently, the Rhema Word of God cannot possibly contradict the Logos Word of God. As born-again Christians, we enter into a personal relationship with God the Father, and so we can expect him to talk to us specifically through his word. An example of a Rhema word is when you're reading a passage of Scripture and suddenly a phrase of Scripture will light up and you'll feel it down in your belly. You'll just know that God is talking to you. Just going to share a couple of examples here. In Maryborough, in Queensland, where I used to live many years ago, I was a single chap, I was about 27 or 28, and all my friends were getting married, and I was one of the few single guys in the church. I was one of the eligible bachelors. I was very eligible, Sandra. Really eligible. I was still eligible. And it was kind of a one-horse town, and people... If they did go away to university and that sort of thing, they never came back. So I was a young fella and I had a degree and I was earning a lot of money. And but people, my friends in the church used to say to me, I reckon God is going to have to bring someone in for you. And one day on a Saturday, I remember it was a Saturday afternoon, I was reading Jeremiah 15, as you do on a Saturday afternoon, you know. And I got to the end of chapter 15, and my eyes glanced down to chapter 16 and verse 1 and 2, and it said, the word of the Lord also came to me, saying, you shall not take a wife, nor shall you have sons or daughters in this place. And I knew instantly that God was talking to me. I knew down here God was saying to me. And I'm just going to say a word of warning here. When we get a Rhema word like that, our first instinct is to try and make the work fit into our current lives. But we need to step back and let the Scripture outwork in our lives. So when I got that word, my immediate thought was, oh, I must be going to meet someone from the next town. Or maybe move to the next town, you know. And 6 months later, Sandra came to church. And I ended up moving country and having children in Scotland. And the outworking of that Rhema word was something far bigger and far beyond anything I could have ever imagined. So that's why I sort of gave that word of warning to this. Just sit back and let things develop. Another example of a different sort of Rhema word is sometimes you'll find a scripture going through your mind constantly. And I believe this is also a Rhema word of God. In John 14, verse 26, it says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I've said to you. You know, and I believe that's the scenario of a scripture constantly going through your mind. God's talking to you about something. And when that happens, can I encourage you just to speak it out? I mean, you don't need to scream it out, but just start speaking it out, because I believe the Holy Spirit is trying to bring about a truth in your life. And the more you speak it out, the more it will become part of your thinking. Also associated with the Rhema word of God, I've kind of touched on this. God also talks to us about through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit. You know, it can be described as a gut feeling. It's a knowing in your belly. And my first example of experience of this was when I first became a Christian. I was a very young Christian. I lived in a place called Canberra, which is in the south of Australia. It's a capital city. It's a very cold place. And I wanted to move back home to Queensland. And I prayed about it. And I got this Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And when I prayed about that prayer to move up to Queensland, I just knew God had answered it. Deep down here, I just had a peace. It just saturated me, and I knew God had heard my prayer. And as I said, I was a young Christian. I was going to church, and everyone I said to told them about this prayer, and that they just said, "Oh, that can't be God." But I knew it was God. You know, obviously they were very concerned for me. I think as a young Christian, they thought I wasn't hearing from God. But every time I thought about that prayer, I had this peace inside. I just knew God had answered the prayer that I was going to move back up to Queensland. So I knew the prayer was answered before the physical outworking had happened again. When Sandra and I often pray about a course of action, I'm the one will often have the inner witness to do something, whereas Sandra will quite often have a rhema word, and they tie in very well. However, when we moved from Australia to Scotland, it was the other way around. I was the one that had the scripture, and Sandra was one that had the inner witness. But both ways are an example of receiving a rhema word from God for rhema word of God for our lives for that period of time. Third way God talks to us is through prophecy. Definition of prophecy is a message or report in human words, usually made to gathered believers, based on a spontaneous personal revelation from the Holy Spirit. Now, we see that pretty well every week in church. But like the Rhema word of God, prophecy will not contradict the Logos word of God. Prophecy should always encourage and lift up the hearer. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 3 says, "But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." And when I bring a prophetic word to the church, I am constantly asking myself the following two questions. The first is this you, Lord? And the second, is this word going to edify, exhort and comfort? And the answer to the first question comes through the following scripture, John 10 verse 4. "And when he brings out his sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will no means follow a stranger, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger." So in other words, I'm listening for the Lord's voice, and over the years I've learned to know the voice of God, but at the same time I never automatically presume that I'm hearing from God. I always do a check. And the second answer to the question comes from the prophecy itself. You know, if you receive a prophecy and it's heavy and it's threatening, don't hesitate to throw it out, because it's meant to edify and exhort. You know, God's given us a brain, and he's given us discernment, and he expects us to use them. You know, so if you are given a word that doesn't fit the criteria of edifying, exhorting and comforting, I believe that you're quite within your rights to actually say to the giver of the word, say, "Can you explain to me how that word edifies, comforts and exhorts?" Just because a message is prefixed with the words, "Thus says the Lord," doesn't necessarily mean it comes from God. You know, we're expected to use discernment. And in fact, when I hear those words, "Thus says the Lord," there's a little gut reaction on the inside of me that says, "Oh, really?" I take it with a pinch of salt. But the nature of our personal relationship with God is such that we shouldn't be communicating to the Lord via a third party. You know, we shouldn't be dependent upon a third party to get a word from God. God has placed the means within us to hear from him. He's given us discernment. He's given us the Logos word on the that we can read. You know, and I'll just come back to the, you know, the checks that I do when I'm bringing a word. Last week, I brought a message in tongues, and I instantly had a picture, and I really didn't know what it meant, because I was asking if it was from God, and so the moment passed and whatever, so I didn't bring it. And then actually this morning, the second before Sandra brought the tongues, the same picture popped into my mind, so I thought I'd just share it now, because I really do believe it's from God. And the picture I saw was, I saw someone standing in a cave, and they were looking towards the mouth, the entrance of the cave, and outside the entrance of the cave was a beach, and there was sand, and it was sunshine, and it was a very peaceful scene. But across the sand, there was a set of footprints walking across the sand into the cave. And I just felt the Lord was saying, why are you looking backwards outside the cave? I am in here. And so I just submit that to, just the fact that I've got it for a couple of weeks, I just believe it's for someone here. Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. Just checking my pages here. Says, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the left, to the right hand, or whenever you turn to the left. You know, the Lord wants to direct us the minute we start to veer off the narrow path. You know, I'm very much aware as I go about my working day, and I'm sure you guys are as well, that God talks to me. And sometimes I remember what he says, and other times I forget, and I'm convinced I really should be wandering around work with a little pocket-sized notepad so I can write down thoughts. Even the other day I had a thought, and I thought, I'll remember that, and I did remember it, but I'm sure at the end of the day I didn't remember the exact words that the Lord had given me. So it's just an encouragement to, it's something we should be thinking about doing if we want to hear from God. You know, but basically when you hear from the God, when we hear from the Lord, you are moving in the prophetic. And if you're not sure what you are hearing, ask the Lord for confirmation. You know, the Lord will give you this because he wants you to grow in the things of God. He wants you to know when it's his voice that you're hearing. And the only way you're going to do that is to step out in faith, but also ask for confirmation. You know, the Lord wants to grow you in the things of God. An example of this is I actually got the following word at a prayer meeting recently, and it was actually from Ian. I'll name and shame. It was from Ian. And the word was simply, when you change the strings of your guitar, you change the clarity of the sound. And God is saying that he's going to do the same with your voice and will strengthen your vocal cords, which will strengthen and change the clarity of the sound. And I said to Ian, can you write that down and send it to me? Because it meant something. And I didn't share any more, but I'm about to share. But at the MIT conference back in June this year, I'd just been instructed by the doctor not to sing for 8 weeks because of what was happening with my vocal cords. And naturally, I was a bit concerned about this. But at the MIT conference, I just felt the Lord say to me, I am restoring and strengthening your voice. You know, so what Ian had said to me was confirmation that I was hearing from God. And so what I'm saying to Ian now is he's actually heard from the Lord, because that confirms something the Lord had said to me. So that's how prophecy works. You know, should build up, should encourage both parties, really. Another example of confirmation from our life is when Sandra and I were actually emigrating from Australia, and we prayed about it, and then we had to send off my passport. The passport came back from the UK embassy with the visa stamp, and we're going. So we started to make steps towards that. And it was a definite, you know, I think probably we were in the process of resigning from our jobs. But Sandra's friend came up to her and said, and I think I've got the story right, she said, this was probably 2 days later, she said, I've had the most vivid dream last night. I dreamt that we were walking along the beach and you told me that you and Neil were moving back to Scotland. You know, so that was another bit of confirmation from us. Was that right, the story? Yeah. This woman didn't know anything about plans, you know, but God showed her. And Sandra touched on this last week in a sermon. You know, journaling is very, very important for recording the Rhema word and prophecy. You know, last week Sandra talked about, she's up to about scripture 12,000 odd in her journal. And I've been writing things down in what I call my book of religious experiences and strange happenings. for about 27 years, probably. I think Sandra was the one that actually inspired me to start doing it. And I'm up to about scripture 1100. I'm not nearly as progressed. And I've got a very definite feeling I've probably missed out on a lot of mail there. But despite the lack of messages, when I read through those journals, I find a lot of recurring themes, the same thing being said to me again and again and again. And it's words of encouragement, it's always encouragement, it's words of encouragement of the Lord mixed with words of encouragement from other people, and it's surprising how often they tie up. But if I hadn't written these things down, I would have forgotten 99% of them. You know, so it's just encouragement just to start writing things down. So where am I going from here? You know, where's it's leading to? You know, I believe the Lord longs to talk to us, each one of us, on an individual basis. But our challenge is, are we listening? You know, are we tuning into the voice of God, or are we being distracted by other voices? Are we like the writer of Habakkuk chapter 2, positioning ourselves to hear from the Lord? And I want to challenge each one of us, and myself included, to be like that man, you know, waiting, expectant and determined. You know, and I want to ask the question, what will it take to be able to receive mail that the Lord has got for us? You know, and the very simple answer is time. You know, we need to take the time to listen to the Lord, but we also need to make the time. Sandra made the remark last week that everyone spends their money on something. And I just want to extend that to say everyone spends their time on something. You know, and if you are, and I'm a bit like this, if you're one of these people, it's let's get all these jobs done out of the way type person, then your personal challenge is actually going to be put the doings aside and to stop before the Lord and to listen. And I just want to close with two scriptures. And they're coming up together, I think. Yep. They will. Jeremiah 29:11 and Daniel 11:32b. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a future and a hope." Well, a hope and a future. And Daniel 11:32 says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." And I'm just wondering if you can see the link between those two scriptures. You know, God has got a unique plan for each one of our lives, and he wants to do exciting things in our lives. You know, and the question is, you know, what sort of exciting things does God want to do in your life? God's Smuggler is a testimony of Brother Andrew. I'm not sure if you've heard of Brother Andrew and Open Doors. And Brother Andrew is now age 90. And it's a great book. It's a good read, actually. I recommend it to everyone. But God spoke to him a rhema word, and it was about helping the suffering church behind the Iron Curtain. And the ministry of Open Doors began with one man being obedient to what he felt God was saying and getting in his car to smuggle Bibles and tracts, you know, to the communist countries. You know, so how do we get to know God and find out his plan for us? It's quite simply by reading his word and listening to his instructions. And how will we carry out the great exploits? It's by hearing his instructions and believing that he's speaking to us via the Logos, the Rhema word, and by prophecy, and then stepping out in faith and carrying out his commands. You know, the only way we'll do this is by receiving the mail that God has got for us. Thomas, could you come up and start tinkling? Thank you. I just want to pray with folk, if this is spoken to people. I just invite you just to stand. I want to pray with us and just pray that we'll have hearing ears. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that in your great love for us, you gave us your word, Lord God. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you for the written word, the infallible, the irrefutable word of God. But we also thank you, Father, that when you gave us that word, you meant it to be personal to us as well. And Father, we thank you, Father, that you want to do great and wonderful things in our lives. And so, Father, as a people, we just commit ourselves to listening afresh to you, listening afresh to your voice, Lord. We commit ourselves to stepping out, Lord God, and testing your voice, Lord, and following your voice, Jesus. We thank you for that in Jesus' name, Lord. Amen.